You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
We're right at the bottom of the hour, back on the Mike Allen Show. Just a few minutes, we'll hear my conversation with noted author and speaker Christopher West. But we do need to finish out our What Were You Thinking nominees. We've had two. One, some bad urban planning and putting parking on both sides of a street with not enough room to drive down the middle of it. And number two, a man who called in a bomb threat to stop his girlfriend from flying and perhaps a rendezvous with her ex-husband. But neither of those compare to our winner, which is going to go to some folks, a group of scientists in the Northeast. Our What Were You Thinking Award, Go Dumb or Go Home. A group of scientists is calling for reintroducing cougars into states like New York and New Jersey in an attempt to lower the exploding white-tailed deer population. They say the 220-pound predators are a natural solution to a problem that causes 1.2 million car accidents per year, including 200 fatalities. Study author Laura Prue, a wildlife scientist at the University of Washington, and Sophie Gilbert and some other associates say, quote, recolonization by large carnivores could provide an efficient solution to the problem of deer overabundance. What could possibly go wrong? While the authors acknowledge large carnivore recolonization could lead to attacks on humans, pets, and livestock, the number of lives lost will be far less than the number of lives saved. I know there are smarter people than me working on this, I think. But to me, there's something counterintuitive here about introducing things that eat people to control the population of deer. It's kind of like what they were doing in Illinois, introducing alligator gar, which grow to be these huge and massive, frighteningly sharp-toothed creatures to control the Asian carp population. Where does this stop, as I've said? What next? Cloning T-Rexes to control the cougar population? Really? I'll take death by deer on a highway over consumption by cougar any day of the week, but that's just me. Anyway, let's go to my conversation with Mr. Christopher West. Christopher West, noted author, speaker on St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body. You can check out his work at Core Project, CORproject.com. Wanted to talk to him about summer and a perfect time for summer's theology lesson. Here's the first part of my conversation with Christopher West. Hello, Christopher.
Hello, Mike. Good to be with you and your listeners, as always.
Great to have you. Summer is flying by, as it always seems to do, so we shouldn't let time go by without going out into nature for a theology lesson, you write in your blog.
Yes, absolutely. God is speaking to us in all of his creation. St. John Paul II wrote that to contemplate creation is to hear a message. Well, what message? Pope Francis puts it this way. He says, the entire material universe speaks to us of God's love. That's the key message. And we have to learn to read, you might say, to read God's sign language. You know, God speaks to us in sign language, and the main sign in all the visible world is, in fact, the visible world itself. Of course, let me correct myself. It all culminates in the incarnation, right? The main sign is the Word made flesh. But before even Christ comes in the flesh, the first revelation of God is the book of creation. This is what the Catechism says. The first book is creation. So we need to learn to read that book, and summertime is a great time to do it.
Christopher, it reminds me of several things. You hear, Catholic greats throughout the centuries talk about a sacramental imagination. I know you love Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He talked about having a divine sense of humor, the ability to see through things. I mean, this is woven into the very logic of Catholicism.
Absolutely. The idea of having a sacramental worldview is to recognize that visible things make the invisible visible. That's what sacramentality is in the broad sense of that word. It means to make visible what is invisible. When God created the world, the very order he established in creation is a making visible of his invisible mystery. Now, that can sound just like kind of lofty theology. What does it actually mean on a practical basis? Well, go out into creation, and you're going to discover that one of God's favorite subjects, without a doubt, is mating and fertility. You know, what are the birds singing about? 9 times out of 10, when you hear a bird song, it's a mating call. What are the crickets chirping about? It's a mating call. I once read, and this was fascinating to me, that there are 3 phases of a cricket song. First, it's the song of calling. Now, only the male crickets sing, and that, too, is a theology lesson. Why? Because God is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride, and God is the one who's wooing us. So it's the male cricket who sings, and it's first the song of calling, then it's the song of courting. This is when the female cricket is getting closer, and then it's the song of copulation. Believe it or not, this is what we're hearing on a summer's night. We're hearing the crickets making baby crickets. And this is a theology lesson. Why? Because God has revealed himself as life-giving love. God has revealed himself both as love and as Father, which is to say God is life-giving love. Every living thing in creation, if we have the eyes to see it, Mike, every living thing in creation tells the story of God's life-giving love. And we, of course, we are the crown of creation. Haven't you read that in the beginning, God made us male and female? Pope Francis, in a beautiful reflection, says, of course, the sexual difference is part of nature at all levels, but only in the human being does it reveal the image of God. This is astounding. And, of course, you know this is one of my favorite themes. In the theology of the body, we discover the theology of the body of John Paul II, we discover that as male and female, we are created bodily to participate in the inner life of the Trinity. Now, no wonder there seems to be these forces in the modern world that are trying to attack our sexuality, trying to confuse the meaning of gender, trying to confuse the meaning of marriage and the family, because if all that we're saying is true, that mating and fertility and culminating in the human body in the mystery of marriage is the main sign in the created world that reveals the mystery of God. No wonder there are forces that don't want us to see that.
We're here with Christopher West, internationally acclaimed speaker, author on the theology of the body, this great gift we have from Pope St. John Paul II. You know, when you look at the first chapter of Genesis, you know, you mentioned the fact that we are the crowning creation. Certainly, we don't need to understand that, though, even though there is a chasm between human beings and all the rest of the created order. That doesn't mean that there aren't similar patterns. You know, in Genesis 1, we see not only, of course, male and female, but also the male and female of the different creatures that are made. Even there's this complementarity of night and day and the earth and the sky and all these sorts of things.
Yeah. All of creation is telling this story. You know, if you just go out and observe, this is what's so important about a summer vacation. It's not just relaxation, but it's a time to foster what you might call a contemplative spirit. I put it this way in one of my books. I say the rhythm of time, of day and night, months and seasons, all of it serves the purpose of life. Soil and air, sea and sky, rocks and hills, sunshine and rain, all serve the purpose of life. Every living thing in creation is designed to reproduce. Every plant, every tree, every shrub, every blade of grass tells the story. What story? The story of a seed that found purchase in fertile soil. Now, ultimately, can we think of a seed that fell from the sky, so to speak, and found purchase in fertile soil that is at the very heart and center of everything Christianity is? It's called the Annunciation.
Hmm.
When Mary opened, not to the seed of her husband, Scripture says, not to the seed of Joseph, but to the invisible, eternal, immortal seed of God. And in this way, the abyss between the Creator and the creature was bridged, and the Word was made flesh. Pope Benedict has a marvelous reflection on how all of creation reveals the mystery of the Incarnation. In fact, through the Incarnation, Christ united himself not only to human beings, but to all of physical creation in some way. How so? Because as the Catechism says, Mike, our bodies are the crown of all of creation. Our bodies sum up in themselves, the Catechism says, all the elements of creation. So that when the Word was made flesh, Christ not only united himself with human beings, not only united himself with the human body, but he united himself with all of creation. This is why we can discover Christ. We can discover the Logos. We can discover the meaning. We can discover the Word in his creation because he's there. All of creation tells this story. This is a sacramental view of the world, as you were saying earlier.
Sorry about that. We finished that interview. We'll give you the rest of it in the next segment. My conversation with Christopher Wetz, noted speaker and author on the theology of the body. We'll be back in just a minute. This is the Mike Allen Show, and you're listening to Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on this beautiful Thursday, August 11th, the feast day of St. Clair of Assisi. St. Clair, pray for us. St. Clair, in her relationship with Francis, of course, she is an 18-year-old, felt compelled to go share in his vows of poverty, and he was happy to oblige, cut her hair, and gave her new clothing, and she founded the religious order, their relationship. Close relationship, Francis and St. Clair, a good antidote to this current trend we have of having to sexualize every relationship because they, like many great saints throughout the ages, had a platonic friendship that was yet beautiful and rich. You think of St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane Francis de Chantal very similarly. Anyway, here's the rest of my conversation with Christopher West, noted author and speaker on the theology of the body on Summer and Nature's Theology Lesson. Christopher, I have to say, reading your blog piece is the first time I've contemplated Jesus' invitation, consider how the wild flowers grow. You pass over a passage like that, you don't even think about it, but there really is an invitation there.
Absolutely. Jesus says, consider how the wildflowers grow. And I tell the story in my blog, the one you're referring to, about a mystical botanist priest friend of mine, beautiful holy priest who just loves flowers. And I one day asked him, I said, Father, what is your deal with flowers? He says, Christopher, have you ever pondered what a flower is? And I'm like, not really. What are you getting at? And he got this like mystical look of ecstasy on his face. And he says, Christopher, a flower is one of nature's most beautiful reproductive organs. And I thought about it for a minute. I was like, wait a minute. And I went back to high school science class and I was like, yeah, that's right. I remember learning that. But it never dawned on me what it means. You know, why does a bride carry flowers down the altar? and why down to the altar? And why in the aisle is it strewn with flower petals? Why do we have flower girls at a wedding? Why is the altar surrounded with flowers in the liturgy? What's being said here? What's the symbol? Life-givingness. Why do flowers smell so good? They're trying to attract lovers. Take a breath right now, Mike. Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Chances are you just interrupted nature's mating process. Because floating through the air are all these little things called little things. You can't even see them, but it's called pollen. And what is pollen? If I can say it plainly, pollen is the equivalent of plant sperm. And Pope Benedict, reflecting on this mystery of pollen, you know, right now, pollen is all over. We live in the woods. Pollen is all over the place. My car gets covered with pollen. What is pollen? Pope Benedict says pollen is a sign of the infinitely generous fatherhood of God. Wow.
Hmm.
Wow, we need to ponder that. The next time you're sneezing with allergies because pollen has got up your nose, reflect on this fact that pollen, which is floating in the air all over the place, this is a sign of God's generous, generating, life-giving love. And this means, if I may say so, quoting from that old schmaltzy 70s song, this means love is in the air. Everywhere I look around, it's everywhere. And to have this sacramental worldview is literally to see signs of God's life-giving love everywhere. Every blade of grass, every leaf, every tree, every shrub, every living thing is a sign of this. If we have eyes to see, it's an encounter with the divine mystery.
We're here with Christopher West, author and a speaker. You can check out his work at Core Project. That's C-O-R, the Latin for heart, coreproject.com. I can't help but think of this. It's so ironic that the Christian believers are oftentimes viewed by some seculars as close-minded. You know, when the truth is, when you have this contemplative heart, when you have this sacramental vision, then you're really the one who is the most open-minded. It's, you know, as Fulton Sheen said, it's the atheist and the materialist who takes the world so seriously and cannot open their mind to the reality beyond their senses.
You're right there, Mike, and you're bringing up a very good point. You see, the purpose of the senses, this is where we get it wrong so often as Christians. Yes, it's true that our senses, sensual experiences can at times, because we're broken and we're fallen, can lead us away from spiritual truths. But the purpose, the goal of the physical senses, all the saints talk about this, the goal of the physical senses is to open us up to the spiritual senses. And so if our body reveals spiritual realities, then we can look at our physical senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting. Did I leave any out? There are five of them. I don't know if I named them all. But, you know, they all lead to a spiritual reality, spiritually seeing, spiritually hearing, spiritually smelling, spiritually sensing. Go take a big inhale of a beautiful flower and rejoice in the sensual experience of it. But don't stop there. Let the physical sense of smell open you to the spiritual sense of smell. For example, what do the saints report when they have encounters with Mary? What do they smell?
Hmm. Roses.
Roses. Why? 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 Mary is, and this is one of her titles the church has given her, Mary is the mystical rose. Why? Why do we call her a flower? Why? Because what is a rose? What is a flower? It's this beautiful reproductive mystery. And Mary is the ultimate garden. She is the ultimate mystery of life-giving love in the created order. Why? Because she gives life to the whole church. First, she gives flesh to Christ. She is the vessel that received that invisible seed of God. She's the open flower. She is the open mystery. She is this open vessel of life-giving love. This is why we call her the mystical rose. You're so right, Mike. This is a great example of how looking at the physical leads to the spiritual. If we are, shall we say, not just open-minded, but open-sensed. if our senses are open to see and hear and smell and taste and touch the spiritual reality just on the other side of the physical reality.
I think it was the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning who said, "Earth's crammed with heaven."
Yes. Yes, it is. And Pope Francis says that encountering a leaf, he says, can have a mystical meaning if we have eyes to see the mystical truth behind a leaf.
Well, Christopher, I won't enjoy my summer the same way ever again. Next time I'm out, I'm going to try to zero in on these things. And certainly, my wife will wonder why I'm smiling the next time we're sitting on our front yard swing and I hear the crickets chirping.
That's great. Here, I'm gonna just close with a quote from the book of Job. Now, if what we're talking about here to the listeners out there sounds crazy, here's what Job says. "Ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea inform you." Inform you of what? All of creation proclaims the eternal love story of God. And this love story is a story about mating and fertility. God wants to marry us. He wants to be one with us forever, and he wants to fill us with eternal life. It's called the marriage of the Lamb, and Pope Francis says this is at the very heart and center of what it means to proclaim the gospel of the world to the world. We're called to this eternal wedding feast, and all of creation tells that story.
Christopher, thanks for your great ministry and all that you so faithfully teach. Really good stuff to think about here. I want to ask you really quick. I know on your website here it says there's a new book out now in paperback. You've taken the Joy of the Gospel, the letter of Pope Francis, and you've broken it into some bite-sized morsels. Is that right?
That's right. If you've learned about Pope Francis from CNN, then I would urge you to get a copy of this book called Pope Francis to Go. It's a great introduction to who Pope Francis is. It's 80% straight Pope Francis and 20% my commentary, just to unpack it and open it up for you. So if you're learning about Pope Francis from the secular media, you don't have a real sense of who this man is. So go to the horse's mouth.
So check it out. It's coreproject.com at coreproject.com. You can read more of Christopher's work. And Christopher, as always, a blessing. Blessings to you and your family. Hope you can get a little downtime this summer to enjoy it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. I'm about to go on a camping trip with my kids in just a few days and soak it all in.
All right. Blessings and bye-bye.
And enjoy, as always, talking with Christopher West. Such energy. If you've ever seen him do a talk in person, it's so energizing and hopeful in many ways. One of the questions that I got there during that conversation was, do you think all this talk about mating, fertility, and so forth, and how the universe screams it, could cause problems for people who are not able to mate for whatever reason? And I think what Christopher would say, which I think Pope St. John Paul II would say, is that we are all called, as man and woman, male and female, we're all called to fruitfulness and fertility, whether that is biological or not. Now, obviously, we believe in the gift of celibacy, but which is not being a bachelor or a spinster. Being celibate is of still giving one the gift of oneself in a generous way and in a fruitful way. So I think that would be how he would address that. But anyway, we'll be back with a new hour. We'll talk to Oscar Cavazos about his journey back to the Catholic faith and Father Alan Carter, First Cup Theology, all coming in the second hour. You're welcome to call 573-4-BREAD-4. This is the Mike Allen Show. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.